Are y'all feeling good today? Amen. We had a big birthday celebration for her grandfather yesterday down at Saraland out on Calioka Road at the Recreation Center. And that's the first one I'd ever been to that whenever they lit the candles, there were so many candles on the cake that I just could not believe how fast the fire department got there. And policemen, it was a fun occasion. I always love to see them fighting the blazes and this, that, and the other. I shouldn't say that. Next time there's an arson fire, they'll come after me. But I'm kidding you. We did have a good time yesterday with Gary, and I was guessing probably 100 people showed up. And I didn't know that they could pay that many people to come to an event, but they did. But Gary, we love you. Today is your birthday, isn't it? So we love you, and we thank God for you, and thank God for you and Debbie and your family. Gary, just going to use him as a lead. Be turning to Hebrews chapter 5. Undoubtedly, Gary chose years ago to love and be a part of his children and his grandchildren's life. I've watched him through the years. He's just been really active. When he walked in yesterday with the surprise party, the first thing he did when he walked in was he picked up his youngest granddaughter and started dancing to the music. And I'm glad y'all didn't see that. But but it's a decision that he's made. And it's a habit that he has developed through the years. And I want to talk to you this morning about developing good habits. We all have habits, amen? Some of them's good, some of them's not so good. But the ones that's not good, that's the ones that we work on to make them good, amen? I heard someone say one time, if you do the same thing each day, I think it was Jerry R. Helger, I remember him saying that, if you do the same thing for 21 straight days, it becomes a habit. You think about that. Each one of us have some good habits, and each one of us has some bad habits. And we're all the creatures, everybody in here, we're a creature of habits. Think about it. So I want to talk to you this morning and encourage you to develop good habits. First thing I want to share with you this morning, number one, you must be trained to develop good habits. Listen to Hebrews 5 and verse 11 through verse 14. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have become to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul is saying here to the Hebrews, spiritual maturity belongs to those who have trained their senses. Spiritual maturity. It's a rare thing today to find people with spiritual maturity, even in the Bible Belt. Their priorities are to do the things of God. Their priorities is to look like Jesus whenever they go out in public. That's their priorities. They've trained their senses. They've gained self-control. They are a people that when people see them, So that person reminds me of Christ. We have to be trained. I remember back when Ty was a little fella, he was about 3 years old, and I kept him just about every day while his parents worked. And I remember one day he was having a conversation with his Nana, and he said, "Huh?" And I said, "Ty, you don't say huh to your Nana. You say ma'am. You say thank you, ma'am. You say please. You say what do you say? What did you say, Nana?" You don't just say huh. I said, "That's disrespectful." I wanted to teach him. I was training him to respect older people. That's something that's missing in this country today, is respect for our older people. I hate to say this, but, you know, when a child smarts off at their parents, I want to slap them. I mean, it just flies all over me. I come out of old school. You respect your mama and daddy. The Bible teaches that. Children, honor your parents in the Lord, that your days might be lengthened. It has conditions. If you learn to honor your parents and show your parents respect, you'll live longer than those kids that are out of control. I remember back many years ago, I got a call one night to go to a place and sit and talk with the parents. And he wanted to talk to me about their wayward child. And I told him, you know, I've been known to just be, some people think I'm too blunt, but there are some people that don't get it. You have to be blunt, you have to tell them, they don't get it when you beat around the bush. And I said, "Look, I want to tell you something. I said, the Bible says," and I told him what I just told you about when you don't honor your parents, your days could be shortened or will be shortened on this earth. And I said, "Look, if you do not rein this child in, this child is going to be dead before they're 20 years old." I said, "Now you've got a problem as parents. You have let this child go. And you've blamed everybody else. When this child gets in trouble at school, it's the other kids' fault. It's the teacher's fault. You've always defended your child has never done anything wrong, and you've never given discipline to your child about the wrong that your child has done. Want to take them out of Sunday school class? Want to take them out of the class they're in? The teacher to church? Don't like my child, don't treat my child as good as they do the other child." And that's what the child is telling the mother at home. Never gave the benefit of a doubt to the adult, to the teacher of Sunday school, or to the teacher at school, or to the people that in the class with them. Never gave credence to that. My child might be lying to me. Everybody look at me. If you develop a habit of thinking your child never lies, you are naive. I lied to my parents. If you're breathing, you lied to yours. Yours will lie to you. Satan tries to develop that habit young in all of us to lie. It just seemed like it came natural to me to lie to my parents. I would lie to them to keep from getting a spanking. I would lie to them to keep from getting in trouble. That's the reason I did it. I had a sad ending to that story. I was at a Thanksgiving gathering at Citronelle with a community of churches back some years ago. And the daddy of that child walked up to me and said, "You tried to tell us something several years ago." And he said, "We turned a deaf ear to what you had to say. And we let our child keep running the same course. And he said, now she's gone. And she's dead. He said, what you said to us was far stronger than we took it. And he said, it was my fault. But a few years late to accept responsibility. If you ever develop a habit that your children never do anything wrong and everybody else is wrong and you bless everybody else out that tells you your children is wrong, you've developed a bad habit. That habit could be a habit that would cost your child their life. I was trying to train my grandson to be respectful. I'm going to tell you something. Children, look at me. If you talk back to your parents, it's an ugly habit. And when you do it in public, you may walk off just, everybody thinks I'm running the show. You do. But you're an idiot. And you don't know you're an idiot. I said, Brother Tom, that's pretty strong stuff. No, when they close that casket lid is strong stuff. That's strong. That's as strong as it gets. That's as strong as it gets. By the way, parents, you can't have bad habits and expect to develop good habits in your children. If you have bad habits, don't expect to ever create good habits and teach good habits in your children. And you refuse to correct and get your habits better. My dad, he was my hero. I love him. Love him this day. He's been gone many, many years. And I remember my daddy looking at me and saying, Tom, I want you to not ever smoke. And he had a pack of Lucky Strikes in his shirt pocket. I've got his last pack of Lucky Strikes he had in his pocket when he died. He dropped dead of a heart attack. And he had some heart issues. And that didn't help his issues at all. He developed a bad habit. And I got him in there in my office at the house. They don't even make, though they're antique, they don't even make those packs look like that anymore. But I watched my daddy. And I watched his bad habit, and his bad habit looked so good to me. My brother took up his bad habit. And I remember my brother, we got a call. He was in the Air Force up at Seward Air Force Base in Smyrna, Tennessee, right out of Nashville. And he was in the hospital, and his lungs collapsed. And, of course, we didn't have much money, but when it's your child and you don't have much money, you get there anyway. And Daddy and Mama took off, and I remember being a teenager, and we went to Nashville to check on him. And he had gotten out of the hospital, and he had done a little surgery on him. He had a scar right there where they put the tube in and blowed his lungs back up. And I remember that. And, you know, I thought about my daddy. My daddy showed him bad habits, and he picked up the bad habits. And for some reason, I picked up the same habit. My daddy loved me. He knew that it could create me harm, but it was something he just couldn't stop. Or he didn't think he could stop, but he just couldn't do it. But he didn't realize, he didn't think, because he loved me with everything he had within him. He would have died for me, but he didn't know that he was teaching me to take up the same bad habit that he had. So parents, if you have bad habits, you can't really spank your children for having bad habits, that having the same bad habit that you have. You can't go and tell them don't do this because you're doing it before. Not what you say that counts. It's what you do. It's what you practice. And habits is something that we practice all the time. I had people that had a habit of cussing. And, man, when I was a little guy, I was good at cussing. I was just good at it. And Daddy and Mama they just let me cuss. They didn't spank me, but Daddy and Mama cussed. And I didn't realize how ugly it was. And I remember people would be at our house, and I'd cuss, and they'd look at me with that mean look, and like that Mama and Daddy didn't give me. They'd look at me with that mean look, and I thought, well, my Mama and Daddy don't mind. I don't know why you looking at me so mean for. My Mama and Daddy don't mind me doing it, but Mama and Daddy did. And I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, and I said, I got to change some old bad habits. Boy, cussing was one of those habits. I'm going to tell you something. After I gave my heart to the Lord, I did not whip that thing overnight. I still had a few to rip out every once in a while. And it wasn't of the Spirit. Especially when I hit my finger with a hammer. It wasn't of the Spirit. But I'd have to, my children. And I remember drinking before my children. And we were at Orange Beach, Martha and me and the children. And I went off down to the store and bought me a six-pack. I was sitting there. I wasn't going to get drunk, but I was just drinking me a six-pack of beer, and that's before I got in, even before I got back in church. And I remember Danny, the oldest boy, looking at me, and he looked at there, and he said, Daddy's going to get drunk. And they just giggled. And, man, I felt like a dog. I couldn't enjoy that thing. I just could not enjoy it. And I thought, that's cool to him. It was an old habit. And I had pushed that old habit away. And I just thought, I'm just going to do this on vacation. I'm just going to have this with the kids. And, it's not going to matter that I'm not going to get drunk. But my children was looking at it. And my children didn't know. And I got to thinking, but they didn't know if I was going to drink. They didn't know how many it took to get you drunk. They were little guys. And I was doing that in front of them. And I remember saying, God, if you just help them forget it, wipe it out of their mind. God, I'll never do that in front of them ever again. God, I'll never do that again in front of these children. Lord, I won't do that. And I don't know if it was ever wiped out of their mind or not. They've never, they never mentioned it to me since that time. But I thought about the dangers of what I was doing. Because some people can drink a six-pack over 5 days and it don't bother them. Some people can't take a drink and leave it alone. They got to go and drink till they get drunk. And those people as soon as they sober up and they have a few days, they got to get drunk again. Some people become alcoholics. Some people can drink one every once in a while and it never bothers them. They never become alcoholics. But some people do. And that's the dangers of those habits. I've had people ask me questions, Brother Tom, if I drank a glass of wine before I go to bed to help me sleep, is that all right? Listen. And this is the way I always answer that. Is it going to send me to hell? I'm not saying it's going to send you to hell, but I'm saying that's between you and God about that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you do it in front of your children, they don't know if you're just doing that to go to sleep or not. They don't know. And if your children has the gene in him to be an alcoholic, and they just watch you do it socially every once in a while, and they try to do it socially every once in a while, and they become an alcoholic. Our habit wasn't out of control, but the habit that we showed them got them out of control. Does that make sense to y'all? Watch what you do in front of your children. Number two, examining our habits is a good habit. Most of us have routines we're not even aware of. Some of us eat the same snack at bedtime, Bluebell ice cream. I was at a thing the other night, a function, and I was sitting at a table with some people. I've known them for years. Ago to another church in Citron Hill, and it was a high school graduation thing, and we're sitting on a tent out in the yard, and Martha and I preached a revival at their church one time and ate with them several nights. And she looked at me, and they had this big old beautiful cake up there, and he wants some of that cake. And she said, "You don't need any of that." And she says, "My husband's having an affair with Debbie." And I said, "What?" She said, "He's having an affair with Debbie." And I didn't know what to say. And she said, "Little Debbie." Said he eats three or four little Debbies every night before he goes to bed. And said, "That's what I mean, he's having an affair with Debbie." I hadn't heard that phrase before. It was kind of funny. But he finally persuaded her he would bring her a piece back too if she let him have a piece of that cake, and it worked. But we have a habit of eating the same thing every night at bedtime. We have a habit that we watch certain TV programs. We wake up at a certain time. It's a routine that we do every morning whenever we wake up. Our habits can be our best friend, and our habits can be our worst enemy. My eating habits at one time was my worst enemy. My cholesterol got all bent out of shape. My triglycerides got all bent out of shape. And I was having an affair with Debbie. I loved them little Debbie cakes too. And Martha would fuss at me, "You eating too many of those cakes. You eating too many of those cakes." But I'm tell you what, little Debbie's sweet. I like little Debbie. And I went to the doctor and I had to go on this diet and all this kind of stuff. I wasn't fat. It was messing me up my blood work. It was creating arteries blockages and all this stuff. And I had to try to slack off of that stuff. It was a bad habit. Our habits of TV in each room can block out our family time. It's just bad habits. I got aggravated this week at my house. I had Ty sitting there. I had Melina sitting there. I had Martha sitting there. And I had Bree Lynn sitting there. And I was sitting there. It was six of us. And I was trying to talk and carry on the conversation. Nobody was listening to me. I said, "Would y'all put them things down?" Everybody was on the phone. They was playing games. They was doing this. They was doing that. I said, "We're a family. Talk to me. Say something." And the whole time, my daughter was just, she wasn't even hearing what I was saying to her. I thought, at least frown, do something. Talk to me. Finally, she laid the thing down. And I said, "You addicted to the thing. You addicted to it. Every time you drive up, you're doing this. And every time you're punching this. Every time you come in, sit down, you visit with me and your mama 30 minutes, we don't have none of your time. Whoever you tip that on, and the kids, and their girlfriends and their boyfriend, and why come see me? Waste my air conditioning while you fellowshipping with somebody else. Go to their house." And then takes me back. That would be more fun than that. It's a habit. We're all in a habit. Amen? We're addicted to cell phones. We are. This country is having an affair with Bell. Southern Bell used to be here. Now it's AT&T. We're having an affair with the telephone. And then they got tickled at me. And Bree Lynn said, she was sitting on this end of the couch, and her mama was sitting on the other. She said, I was just sitting here texting mama. I said, what? She said, yeah, I was just texting mama. Probably what she was texting, Pawpaw's an old fogey, ain't he? They didn't want to hurt my feelings because I was getting a little ruffled at them, sitting there in the house soaking up that air conditioner and won't talk to me. Good gracious alive. Listen, any of y'all, if you got a lot to say to me, I ain't going to text it back a long time. I'll call you and I'll talk to you all day long. But I ain't going to have a texting match with you. I just don't do that. I'm slow at it. I can't spell all them words. You going to make fun of my misspelled words? I remember back in the old days, we would go to my uncle's house, my Uncle Cliff. He had a boy my age, Roy. And he had other boys. It was my brother's age. It'd be in the summertime, and he'd be sitting out on the porch. There wasn't no air conditioning. He'd have a can with a smoldering rag in it. That was the mosquito spray. The doors were open to the house to get air in because there was no fans and there was no air conditioning. And us boys went out there and played. We had an old hoop thing on a china berry tree out there. It was our basketball goal with no backboard on it. And we cut off a limb and nailed that thing. You seen these butterfly nets? Or like a hoe that's got this hollow thing that you put the hoe handle in. And we nailed that thing and that hook to that tree, and that was our basketball goal. And we'd go out there, and we'd be hot and sweaty, and we just hated to go home. And they'd be sitting on the front porch drinking hot coffee in the hot summertime, talking and fellowshipping with each other, and go home and say, man, that was fun. And nowadays, we go to each other's house and don't even talk to each other and go home and don't even know we'd been there. We was visiting with somebody else the whole time we was there at their house. And I thought back, man, that was fun back in those days. And I remember my Uncle Cliff would make him a pallet, and he'd double his pillow like it and put it up against the wall, and he'd lay a quilt on the old porch. And he'd lay there, and he had overalls on. He'd take his shirt off because it was hot, but he's going to wear them overalls, and he'd lay there barefooted with his legs crossed. He'd be laying there. It looked like one of those Cohen shows on Hee-Haw, you know. That's just the way it was. But when we left, we knew what they had done this week. We knew what they were going to do tomorrow. We knew where they were going to do this and do that and do the other. We knew some of them had felt bad, had been sick or whatever. We knew those things. But nowadays, we go visit people and don't even know what, like I say, we can't even remember what we done when we went there because we never visited. It's a bad habit. It's a bad habit. Do you think this is going to affect any of you? No. So why are you preaching then? Just to worry you to death. Before I retire. We need habits that cultivate grace. Titus 2:11 and 12 tells us that it is the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Ephesians 4:13 says, tell us to make every effort to live with one another in humility and with unity. With that in mind, let us look at some of the habits that can help cultivate your experience of grace. Number one, put God first. Make it a habit. Put God first. Says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it talks about all these other things will be added unto you. Put God first. All these things will be added unto you. I talked about people that let their children go and the children died young. And then they realized that after it was way too late. If somehow they could have never not defended that child in the wrong. But somehow or another had changed that child's mindset about life and helped that child cultivate good habits. That child could have still been alive today, producing grandchildren for them and just enjoying life. And now they go to the cemetery and mourn and bring flowers. Listen, folks, that's all about cultivating habits, seeking the kingdom of God and seeking God first. Number two, take out the trash. So what? Take out the trash. Number one, put God first. Number two, take out the trash. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. It says, don't let bad habits grow to the point that you don't favor God. Take the trash out. You got bad habits in your life, throw it out in the garbage. Take out the trash. Get rid of bad habits. If it's going to harm your children spiritually, if it's going to harm your children physically, if they follow your footsteps, love them enough to throw it in the trash. Amen. You see, everybody in here, your life affects other people. Your habits affect other people. Your church habits, your worship habits, your Sunday school habits, your commitment habits, all of these things affect other people. My habits, raising my children, affected my children. Your habits, raising your children, has affected your children. If you ever hear the word saying dysfunctional family, that's a dysfunctional family. That means that family had bad habits. And it made that family dysfunctional. They survive in the world, but their life is a mess. Then their children's life's a mess. Then their children raise children and their life's a mess. And they raise children and their life is a mess. And it's an endless cycle of messy lives because the habits are passed down from generation to generation. And then finally, number three, do your own dishes. The principle of responsibility takes the blame off of other people and focuses us to be accountable for our own mess. Don't blame other people. Too many people blame other people for their mess. It's my parents' fault. It's the system's fault. Listen. I don't care what color you are and what race you are. If you want to make it in America today, you can make it. You can make it. You might have to shuck some of the habits that your parents had, but you can make it. Barack Obama became president of the United States. Black man. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. You might have been raised dirt poor and didn't have nothing. We were raised dirt poor. My daddy died in 1965, and my daddy brought home $36 a week. My mama checked groceries at a grocery store down here at Citronelle, and mama made about $58 to $59 a week. Big money, we thought. My daddy didn't have an education. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. All he could do was work in the putwood. That's all daddy could do. That's all he thought he could do. And that's all he ever did. And that's all he ever made. My daddy dropped dead on a job out there about 10:30 in the morning, out there in the timber, marking timber, and his pay stopped when he dropped dead. He didn't get paid for the full day. The man that took his place started making $65 a week. I don't blame that other man for taking it. But my daddy was held hostage because he didn't have the education, which education didn't matter out there. All you needed to know was a dying tree or a crooked tree, and Daddy knew that well. That's all he ever did was work in the woods. But because there was no push for more money, he never got it. And I followed in my daddy's footsteps. I started out as a teenager working with the timber, put wood and operating a chainsaw, cutting timber, working for somebody else. And I was getting paid $8 a load, and they was getting paid whatever the load brought. And I thought, that's the smart guys. I'm the dummy. I'm not going to do this all my life. I said, I'm going to go find me something else to do. I broke the old habit. I broke the mold, and I went and found me something else to do. I got me a job where I didn't have to work so hard. I'm going to tell you something. Nancy, you were raised up in that stuff. You start humping them 5 foot, 3 inch sticks of putt wood, breaking them over your leg, throwing them on your shoulder, throwing them up on a truck. You do that all day long and don't stop. And when you do take a break from doing that, you got a chainsaw cutting up more. That's work. That's work. I did that. And I said, I am going to go find me a job. And my daddy told me, he said, boy, he said, you don't want to do this kind of stuff all your life. He said, it'll build you up, then it'll tear you down. He said, it'll kill you. I listened to him on that, and I got out of that. There was nothing wrong with it. It was a good, honest living. A lot of people did it, but it was just a survival living. This morning, I want Tom to come. If you got any bad habits this morning, and you know they're bad habits, I want you to think about your children. I want you to think about the people that look up to you. Everybody here has got somebody that looks up to them. The way you conduct your life and the habits you have. A lot of scarred children today in this world because of the habits of the parents and the grandparents. The sins of the parents passed down to first, second, third generation. Bad habits. Listen. Every one of us in here, fairly smart folks. We choose our life and how we live it. We choose the habits we like and the habits we don't like. We choose them. I've chosen ugly habits before. You have too. But I thank God. And I still have to guard against bad habits. And I always will. But I thank God for some of the habits that I laid down a long time ago. I thank God that I laid them down. Don't you? I'm not going to embarrass any of you to come up here this morning. I want you to come up here if you've got bad habits. I just want you to kneel this altar and ask God to forgive you of them. I know you well enough to know that you're not going to do that. I'm going to ask you right there in your seat. With your eyes closed, if you've got a habit of not putting God first, ask God to forgive you that habit. Got a habit of flying off the handle, saying things to people before you think it through, and you hurt the feelings, you have to go to them to apologize, you catch yourself having to apologize often because you can't control what comes out of your mouth, that's a bad habit. It might be to your husband, it might be to your wife, it might be to your children. Right there in your seat, that's God. God, help me to not let things fly out of my mouth before I think about them and think of the ramifications and who they might hurt and how deep it might hurt. Help me, God, to control that. I was at the doctor this week, and Martha was with me in the office. The doctor was talking to me about stress issues. And said, do you get angry and get agitated, fly off the handle? And do you have loud outbursts at people? And I told her, I said, no, I think it. She said, what do? When you think it, I said, I walk away so that I don't do it. I just walk away. Sometimes it's better for us to walk away. Sometimes it's just better to let people think that we're a fool instead of act up and show them we're one. Just leave them thinking. Amen. We can control it. We can control outbursts. How many of us have done things and said things in outbursts we wish to God we'd never said? And we do it on a regular basis. And we don't realize that we're teaching our children, our grandchildren, to act just like us. Amen. We can do better than that, can't we? We can do better than that through God's help. I love you. Thank God for you being here today. Yes, ma'am.